We take our lesson from the gospel. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Verse 13. Verse 28, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. So there is a plan. There's a plan in place, and the plan is executed by Jesus, who is busy spreading his kingdom through the whole world, and Jesus, who is calling people into his kingdom. And first off, he does this in the way that you would expect a Savior like Jesus to do it. He calls people into his kingdom, one soul at a time, one person at a time. Not in big bunches or in large groups of people that are annexed into the kingdom, but one soul at a time who, hearing the word of God, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, then coming into faith, is part of the kingdom. There's no other way that that can be done than one soul at a time. For most of us, that one soul at a time business took place someplace very similar to this, the baptismal font, where parents brought a little child and they held the little child, and the pastor had some water, and the pastor poured the water on the child and said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so the word of God, words spoken by Jesus, planted in a heart and in a soul. And that's the basic theme. The word of God being planted home within us. Because that word of God planted home brings us to faith, connects us with Jesus Christ, opens heaven for us, forgives our sins, makes us children of the Father, makes us brothers and sisters of Jesus, makes us the redeemed. And so we gain eternal life in that way. And then that word of God planted in us at our baptisms first, or for others later on as they hear the word of God and believe it, that word of God will stay after us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and the promises of Jesus to speak them into our hearts day after day, year after year. So as we grew, that word of God grew the faith within us. As we went through our years, the word of God went with us. And if we wandered off from the word of God, that word of God chased after us. If we wandered from the church, the word of God was still there as the Holy Spirit kept speaking and speaking it home to us. So that word of God, what connects us to Jesus Christ, what connects us to salvation, is that all-important thing that we talk about as Christians. There's a plan. The plan is put in place as the word of God into our hearts becomes the word of God within us, and then as the word of God gets onto our tongues and comes out of our mouths and goes from our lips to somebody else's ears and from another person's lips to another person's ears. And so the word of God and the message about Jesus Christ begins to spread through the whole world. There's a plan. Jesus said, verses 12 and 13, they will lay hands on you and persecute, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Remember the Apostle Paul, I think it was in Acts 16, arrested and beaten for preaching about Jesus Christ. And what they did with him next is they threw him and Silas, I believe it was, into the prison at Philippi. And Paul, realizing this is how the word of God spreads, looks around him and sees he sees prisoners who need to hear the word of God, and so he speaks to them. And they hear the word of God, and then the jailer needs to hear the word of God. And it's wherever God happens to put you is the place where he's given the opportunity for you. I get to watch this happen because as a pastor, I get to walk down hospital hallways. And as I do so, I can hear things going on in the rooms. And I can pass by a room and say, there's a Christian there. Why? Because they may be reading their Bible. Somebody may be reading their Bible to them. They may be spending some time in prayer. And the prayer is not always a prayer full of confidence and sure that everything's going to turn out just exactly right that day. Sometimes the prayer is a prayer of worry and calling on God in the middle of trouble to hear and to answer. And those prayers are good. Those prayers are very good. I remember back when I was a child, sitting on the stairs outside the room, hearing my grandmother praying, "Help me, Jesus, help me." She had broken her hip. You see, what happens is that the whole world is standing there wondering what lasts, what endures, what is solid. And they look around at a whole bunch of things that don't last and don't endure, things that fall apart in life, things where the hopes that they had are disappointed. And then they look at these Christians. Christians are the ones who say, I know that God loves me. Why do I know that he loved me and loves me still? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the wounds and the hands. Because of the empty tomb. I know that God loves me. And whatever today brings, whatever tomorrow brings, whatever doubts and worries and troubles I go through, it doesn't change who Jesus Christ is. I know that God loves me. So the world starts looking and listening and saying, these are Christians who say that they have something that is worth holding on to. Let's watch and see. Let's watch and see how they deal with trouble. Let's watch and see how they deal with sickness or conflict or problems in their life, with poverty, with aging. The world looks. As these Christians who deal with these things and call out to God in the middle of trouble. And yet in that calling out to God, there is more there than the world finds in all of the other philosophies and religions in the world. There is something that in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of all of the uncertainty that can come along, is solid because Jesus Christ is solid. Oh, and the world may say, well, let's test it some more. Let's cause problems for the Christians and persecute them and laugh at them and this and that. And then see how they deal with it. And Jesus says, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. And you kind of think about turning to God and saying, thanks. Because it means that God is going to take us whether we will or not, push us out. There we are on stage and the whole world's watching. And in the middle of doubt or tears or whatever, does the Christian still call on Jesus? It matters. Down through the ages, the world has watched. And the world has persecuted. And the world has wondered, do we have that something? And whether they want to admit it or not, even on the part of those who deny that there is a God or is any religion that is worthwhile, there's this reluctant admission that there is something among us. And if they ask, we would tell them, it sure isn't us. It must be this Jesus who has promised. This Jesus who, this being very important, this Jesus who came into our world to share our troubles, to kneel in prayer, to cry out on the cross. This Jesus, who is different from anybody else that has ever been in this world, and we know that we can trust him. Well, we're kind of sideways into it, and we're kind of a little bit past it, but wanted to explain to you why it is that Martin Luther called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat of, why he called that the altar to God within the garden. Which sounds strange. But then he begins to explain. And he says, anywhere else in the garden, it was easy to obey God and not eat of that tree. Why, if you're 500 yards away, you're not going to be eating of that tree. But it's when you stand under that tree and notice that the fruit looks good and smells good and looks like it's good for the eating, and there's this fellow there telling you that it will open your eyes and make you wise, then is the opportunity, which they failed, then is the opportunity to give a special measure of trust and obedience to God. And then he begins to apply this. You see, there are times in our lives when things go all smoothly. Easy to be a Christian. There are times when everything falls into place. No problem. It's in that time when something happens, there's problems, and the doubts start coming, and you hear the whispering from the devil, has God really said? And it's in that time that God gives you the opportunity to give a special measure of trust and obedience to God. And I've used this idea in counseling, both married couples and congregations, that in their time of difficulty, now's the time. Now is the time that you have the opportunity to give something special to God in terms of trust and obedience. And how many times in your life will you have that opportunity? Not all that often. Most of life will go smoothly. But in those days of testing, Luther says, seize that opportunity. Grab a hold of that day. And in that time, then you follow God and worship him in a special way. Now that makes sense. So there is a plan. And it is the plan of Jesus, and it is anything but the plan that we would have chosen. But he's the Lord, and he actually knows, and he is actually gathering people into his kingdom. And one final thought, as we're talking about the end, it comes in a phrase, don't turn off. Don't. Recent event. Don't turn off the TV. Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. Some of you met my friend Andy last week, who teaches archery. He told me last week about when he was out east and he was watching a sports event on television, and it was in June, and there was a minute and a half left in that match. And he turned off the TV because his team was losing. And then 17 seconds happened. He was watching the Blackhawks. And he turned it off and walked away and didn't get to see that amazing thing that happened at the end of the game. Well, when the hand of God comes and God's right arm and his mighty power, when God decides to act, the last thing you want to do is to turn away and not be watching, because it is some of the most amazing things that God will do. When these things happen, straighten up and raise your heads. Your redemption's drawing near. Besides which, you don't want to miss this. Because when he acts, that is something to remember for all eternity. In Jesus' name.